Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. It is now the 8:30 hour, and it's time for Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Diane Adams, bringing you words of wisdom, plain and simple. As always, it's an honor and a privilege to come before you, the people of God. I don't take it lightly, and I thank God for the opportunity, because it's all by God's grace, everything through Christ Jesus. Well, the title of our lesson for tonight is Where God Leads, He Also Provides. You have to believe that. You have to know it. And you have to trust it. God never set you up to fail. We're going to be in the book of 2 Kings, and we're going to expound on the 1st through the 18th verse. 2 Kings, 2nd verse, 1st through the 18th. At this time, I'm going to play a song. And once the song is finished, we're going to go to the throne of grace. And after that, we'll explore the word of God together. I thank God for each and every one of you who have already tuned on. And I thank him for who's going to tune on. But I'm going to play this song now. And when we come back, we're going to go on into the lesson. Listen and be blessed. so sorry the mic was off. Thank you for calling my phone, and I figured someone did, and most of everybody stayed on the line. I had cut the mic off, and I didn't cut it back on, but I'm back on, and I had let us off, all let us into prayer. So what I'm gonna do is just go back to the throne of grace and bring us in and lead us into prayer, and then I'm gonna go into the lesson. But if anyone would like to pray, you could press the one button on the phone, and you could lead us into prayer. I made a prayer, but y'all couldn't hear it because the mic was off. But it's on now. And I'm sure you could hear me. I have a caller that pressed the one button, would like to lead us in prayer. Caller, your number is 23193. Your mic is open, yeah. And you can speak at this time.
Father, we thank you for allowing us to be together once more and again tonight on the line, O God, so that we can learn of you, O God. I ask that you continue to bless the teacher. Let her give us everything you have given to us for our strength and for our courage, God. We just thank you for this Bible study line tonight. I thank you for Sister Diane. I ask that you will bless everybody who's on the prayer line tonight. God, I ask that you will allow the Holy Spirit to open our hearts and our minds to the word, that we will receive the word, O God. And we know that if the word is good seed, let it be planted on good ground. Let us not just take the seed and hold it selfishly, but let us release it and share it with others. And it is in the name of Jesus that I say thank you, Lord. And thank you for allowing my sister to press the button so that she could get on the call tonight to open the mic. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much. So you can hear me now, right?
Oh, yes.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. And thank you for that wonderful prayer. Well, I don't know what part you guys didn't hear, and I was really in rep phone, but God saw fit that a caller called me, and when I saw that caller calling me on my phone, I know they were alerting me that something wasn't right. And I went to the studio board, and I saw my mic was on freeze. But I thank God, because just like I said, and I don't know what part you heard and you didn't hear, whatever, wherever God guides you, he also provides for you. In other words, God ordained this program tonight, and there was a problem, but he's going to always find a way to fix it because he has something for you, and he wants me to give it. And it, what sense would it make for that not to get straight? It just wouldn't make sense. So I say thank you, Father God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And thank you, my sister, for the prayer. Thank you to the caller that called my phone. Our lesson tonight is where God guides, he also provides. I want to ask you tonight, do you believe it? God has never asked you to do anything that he didn't make provisions for you to do it. God never asks you to give something you don't have. Hallelujah. God does not send you somewhere and don't make the provisions for you to get there. God is a complete God, a God of enoughness. God has all of our best interests at heart, and God never sets us up to fail. So when we go in the book of 2 Kings, last week we did 1 Kings. And when we looked at 1 Kings, we saw several things that happened. You know, it started off talking about Saul, and then God raised up David. And then in 2 Kings, we saw they had King Solomon. We saw all of his wisdom and all that he had accomplished, and then we saw his failures. you know, with so many wives. And I want to let y'all know, even though God allowed more than one wife at that time, he did not allow the number that Solomon decided to take for himself, 700 wives and princesses and 300 concubines. God was not pleased with that. God said that was just too much. So, you know, even though he had all those wives, some people may say, oh, they allowed that, but God didn't allow that many, if you look in the book of Deuteronomy. And then we come on to 2 Kings. And 2 Kings, you know, starts off, and it lets us know much about the prophets that God was assigning to take over now. You know, the kings had, you know, was running a race, and they was evil in doing things, and several things happened. You know, if you look at it like the lessons we've been starting, when we started in Genesis and God raised up Moses because the people cried while they were being enslaved, and God raised up Moses to go and set the people free. Hallelujah. You see, the people cry out unto God, and God raised up a leader. And then after Moses didn't get to the promised land and died, God already had someone in place by the name of Joshua. You see, God always have someone. And then after we looked at Joshua died. The people go crazy, doing anything seeming right in their own eyes. Then when they get into trouble, you know how some of us don't look to God till we get in trouble instead of looking at him before we get in trouble. When the people got in trouble, God raised up judges. And it was 15 judges. And whenever the judge was living, the people walked a little straighter. But when the judge died, they began to go astray. When they get in trouble, they call on God. God sent another judge. It went on. They mess up. They cry to God. God give a judge. They straighten up. Judge died. They go crazy. God gave them 15 judges. They decided they wanted a king. We have to remember God say, I'm the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But they cried so much for a king. And part of the reason was the last judge, Samuel, his sons was going to become the next judge, and they weren't right. And the people couldn't see themselves being ruled or led by them. And that's when they decided to ask for a king. God told them no. He even told them all that the king would do. And yet at the end, they said, we want a king. God said to the prophet, let him have it. But even in him allowing it, well, you know, he didn't orchestrate Saul. He didn't want a king over them, but you got to look at it this way. He didn't want it. He knew it wasn't best for him. But because of their cry, he allowed it. You know, some things in our life, God just allow. He may not have orchestrated. And it may not be his will, but he'll allow it. And they got Saul, and then God raised up David. And then God, we know all of the shortcomings of David. And then God anointed Solomon. And we know how that story ended. So now we in 2 Kings. And I want you to know the author of 2 Kings is unknown. And 2 Kings continued the history. See, Kings is a book that's in the history. You know, in the Bible, it's broken up into, I'm not going to call it genres, but it's broken up into, to say like the first five books was the law. You know, and then they have history, they have poetry. They have prophets. So Second Kings is a book listed in the history of Israel. It is halfway between the death of David and the death of the nation. Israel had been divided. See, I want to talk about this, but I want to put y'all right in a place. You see, Israel was God's nation. That was his chosen people. And it was made up of the 12 tribes of Israel, which was Jacob, whose name was turned to Israel's sons. And God promised Abraham to give them the promised land. Moses and Aaron didn't get that. But God gave it to them. But in his doing everything for them, choosing them, saving them, and setting them apart, and they couldn't be obedient. That's like many of us. You know, God has saved us, sanctified us, set us apart. And if we inspect ourselves, we would see what we should do that we're not. But the 12 tribes of Israel, after Solomon disobedient, God said he was going to divide them. And by this time, Israel had been divided into two kingdoms. And both of the kingdoms had slid into idolatry. They was full of corruption, and they was headed to collapse. And eventually they had captivity. You know, they was captured, just like they was in Egypt and was slaves. They're going to allow themselves to have so much idolatry. And idolatry is worshiping idol gods and putting things before God. They had so much idolatry that God took his hand from on them. And when that would happen, they always fell into captivity. You see, 2 Kings relate the story of 12 kings of the northern kingdom. Now, you got to remember, there was 12 tribes of Israel. When it was divided, they had the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. 10 tribes was in the north, and 2 tribes was in the southern kingdom. The northern kingdom kept the name of Israel, and the southern kingdom became Judah. That's why when you read in the Bible sometime, it'll say God is speaking. He's saying, I'm talking to Israel and Judah. He had to say the two names because the kingdom was divided. And I often wonder when I read and they say it to Israel, the nation of Israel, and then Judah. And then I realized that it had been divided. But you see, for 130 years, Israel endured the succession of evil rulers. They had evil rulers and kings and priests that were evil. And then by the end of the 130 years, they was captured by the Assyrians. And they was led into captivities. Of all the kings in both the north and the south, only Hezekiah and Josiah were called good because of their obedience to God and spiritual revival during his reign. Judah was a little better. They were a little better than Israel, than the northern kingdom. And they was able to stay 136 years after that. And then they fell into so much idolatry that they were captured by the Babylonians, and they had fell into the hands of Nebuchadnezzar. So we have to know these things to understand these things. And the book of 2 Kings talks about two prophets, mainly Elijah and Elijah. Most, you know, Elijah was noted for a lot of things. You know, when John the Baptist came on the scene and the people couldn't understand how he talked with so much authority and was so sure of himself, so they believed that he was Elijah that was raised from the dead, that had came back. Because one thing we know about Elijah, he did not see death. You know, when Jesus allowed himself, Moses, and Elijah to be seen by some of the prophets, and they call it the Mount of Transfiguration, Elijah was with him. Jesus, Moses, and Elijah. So it's kind of, I'm trying to give you a little background on Elijah so that you could know. But like everybody else, Elijah was weak. Because he'd rather be alone than to be with people. And that isolation sometimes is not good for you. And it was another time when he ran for his life and even asked God to let him die because the evil queen Jezebel, whose husband was King Ahab, and he was one of the worst kings, threatened for his life. And then we got Eliza. You know, Eliza was always with Elijah. And his name means God is salvation. And he was the one that God had ordained when Elijah was no longer there. That would be the successor of Elijah. You know, Eliza hung with Elijah a lot, and he was learning. See, God will put you with somebody that you could learn, but you have to be faithful. And he hung with Elijah. And wherever Elijah went, he wanted to be there. And then that's how a lesson opened up about the story. Now, remember, God had raised up Elijah to help get the people straight. But no matter what he did, it didn't straighten them out. But he was a prophet that God had raised up. When all the kings had failed. You see, and so God had Elijah right there with him. Because God already always have a replacement. Because God's will is going to be done with or without you. And as we say, one monkey will never stop God's show. So we need to get in tune and in touch and realize that if God has something for us to do, we should want to do it. We should want to be in our proper place. We should want to fulfill the mission that God gives us. And you got to remember this. Whatever God has for you, it's for you. There's some people that won't accept the word of God unless it comes from you, because that's how much influence you have on their life. We got to be about our Father's business. And we're going to see tonight two men who we're doing it. And then our lesson open. 2 Kings. I'm going to read the first through the third verse. And the scriptures reads as follows. And it came to pass, when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha to Gilgal. And second verse, and Elijah said to Eliza, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord had sent me to Bethel. And Eliza said unto him, as the Lord live and as my soul liveth, I will not leave thee. You see, you got to remember, Eliza wanted to get all of the training and everything that he could get. So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth at Elijah, and said unto him, Know it that the Lord will take away your master from thy head today? And Elijah said, Yeah, I know it. Hold your peace. You see, when we look at them scriptures, we know that God had called and appointed Elijah, to be Elijah's replacement. God was going to take Elijah up into heaven, for he would not see death. Hallelujah. You see, few replacements in scriptures were as effective as Elijah, who was Elijah's replacement, as God prophesied to Israel. Elijah had a great example to follow in the prophet Elijah. He remained with Elijah until the last moment of his teacher's life on earth. I didn't say that because Elijah, the scriptures tell us that God was going to take him in a whirlwind up to heaven. He was willing to follow and learn in order to gain knowledge and power to do the work that God had called him to do. Are we learning to prepare ourselves for what God has for us to do? Do we study the word? Do we share the word? But Elijah wanted to stay close so that he could learn. You see, Elijah wanted Elijah to stay where they were, but Elijah said, I will not leave thee. And you see, the scripture talked about the sons of the prophets. But let me tell you what they were saying. The sons of the prophets were a company of prophets, similar to a school. It was gathering of disciples around to recognize, who would gather around recognized prophets, such as Elijah and Eliza. Even in the godless Israel, even though all of that was going on, these bands of young men congregated under the prophet who they thought they were good so they could learn and they could receive instruction. You know, it's almost like the churches we have today. We have Baptist churches and whatever church, and so many people are calling to God, you know, under that pastor's watch, and the pastor say, nah, that's my son. You know, that's my sons in the ministry, you know, and they say different things like that. But this what these sons were. And they had came and gathered around Elijah. And they told Elijah, you know, God is going to take Elijah away. And Elijah said, yeah, I know it. But when he told him, hold his peace, I don't want to talk about it. You know how you don't want to hear some things people want to tell you? He knew God was going to take him. He didn't know when. And he really didn't know how. And they was just keep telling him. He said, I know, I'm all right, but I don't want to talk about it. That's what he said when he said, hold your peace. And that's what Elijah was letting him know. So he was a band of young men that wanted to be taught in the midst of everything going on that wasn't right. And if we look at the fourth verse, and we read the fourth and the fifth, and it said, and Elijah said unto him, tarry here. See, he had went to one place, and it was Bethel. And he was telling him, stay here, because I got to go to Bethel. And he said, in them scriptures we read, no, I'm going with you. And here we come again. Elijah said, tarry here, I pray you, for the Lord has now sent me to Jericho. And he said the same thing. And he said, as the Lord liveth and as my soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. And here we see the sons of the prophets again. They were at Jericho. And they came to Elijah. And he said unto, and they came to Elijah, and they said unto him, know it that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, yea, I know it. Hold your peace. You see right here, he repeated again. Elijah knew that his master was going to be taken away, but he wasn't ready to hear it, and he sure didn't want to talk about it. And if we get to verse 6, 7, and 8, it reads as follows. And Elijah said unto him, tarry, I pray thee, here, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan. I see this three times. God give him assignment. He asks Elijah to stay. Elijah refused, and he go with him, but not he at the Jordan. And he said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they too went on. So now Elijah and Elijah is going on to get to Jericho. Hello? If y'all could hear me, press the one button, somebody.
Okay.
Yeah, hello? Hello?
All righty.
Thanks for all of the pressing of the phone. Well, I'm going with the lesson. I see a lot of persons have pressed the one button. Help us, Holy Ghost. And as I was saying, and Elijah said unto him, tarry not. For I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan. And the Lord liveth, and as my soul liveth, again he tell him, I'm not going to leave you. And they went on. But you see, they had 50 men of the sons of the prophet. That was there. Hallelujah. And they went to see, and they stood to view for all. And they too stood by the Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle. And a mantle on here is not like a piece of wood or anything. A mantle is a coat or cloth that the man of God and the prophets usually wore. But he took off his mantle and wrapped it together, and he smote the water. And they were divided hither and hither. That means to the left and the right, here and there. But it was divided and it separated so that they went over on dry land. I want you to notice tonight that here we see that the Red Sea was not the only body of water that parted for the people of God to accomplish God's goal. You see, like the title of the lesson say, where God guides, he also provides. You see, when they reached the Jordan River, they needed to get on the other side. And there were 50 men of the sons of the prophet with them watching. Elijah took his mantle which was a loose sleeveless cloak, a cape. He wrapped it and he smote the water and it divided. Now, they were on the Jordan, but Elijah wanted to go on the other side. And you remember Elijah sometime liked isolation. So the men, that the 50 men was on this side of the Jordan. Elijah wanted to go on the other side of the Jordan. He told Elisha to stay on that side. Elijah refused to stay, so he went with him. And now he done smote the water, and it done divided, and they go on the other side, hallelujah, in dry land. You see, this is a strange and unique miracle that God did to show his power. And Elijah didn't take it for granted, and he didn't get it twisted that it was all about him. He knew that it was God and not himself. You see, Elijah walked in the steps of Moses and Joshua as one whom God used to miraculously part water. You know, they first parted the Red Sea when they came out of Egypt. And to get to the promised land, there was the Jordan River in front of them, and they had to get over there. So the children of Israel did not experience the parting of water and walking on dry land one time, hallelujah. They had experienced it two times. It's the same Jordan that Elijah had to part for him and Elijah to go on the other side. Now, when they get over there, because the 50 men is still on the other side of the Jordan, and verses 9 and 10 said, and it came to pass when they were gone over on the other side that Elijah said to Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. Now, God had already assigned that Elisha would take over for Elijah. God had already told him that God was going to go, because even the 50 men of the prophets, the sons, had kept telling Elijah how he you know, his master was going to be taken from him. So it wasn't no secret. So Elijah now asks Elijah, what can I do for you? And it came to pass when they had gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I'm taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of your spirit come upon me. Now that's deep. It shall be so. No, he told him. He said, let just double of your spirit come upon me. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. What was he saying? Elijah was saying, you know, it's not my power to give, but it belongs to the Lord. He said, that's a hard thing. He said, but nevertheless, if you see me when I'm taken from thee, it shall be so. But then he told him, if not, it shall not be so. What he's telling him, you made your petition, and that's what God wants us to do, to make our petition. But we got to allow God's will to be done. And that's a prime example. You see, Elijah appreciated Elijah, and he knew that he was about to leave him because they had been told by God. And you see, watch this. And all of this was a test to know the spirit of his friend. He had urged him again and again and again to leave him, and he never would. And it was only when Elijah had passed the test that Elijah was able to give him this authority. Come on now, y'all. Some of the things you're doing in your life, you know, the opportunity is presented to you. You following a leader, and you know you want to act like you're the leader, and you know you go around talking about your leaders, and you put them down, you know, and things like that. But you know, a good leader has to learn how to be a good follower. Elijah followed Elijah. And he felt it was important to just hang with them and get everything he could. You know, maybe some blessings or some things you need to learn, you know, is in the hands of somebody that you done walked away from. Somebody you think you know more than. Or it could be somebody that you don't respect or whatever. But you see, God has a master plan, and you ought to not feel that you afforded the privilege to know everything. Sometimes, and God is leading and guiding you where the provisions are, but some plenty times we just don't listen. And sometimes we're moving so fast we can't hear his voice. You see, but when Elijah invited to make a request, when Elijah was invited to make a request, Elijah asked for a big thing, a double portion of the mighty spirit of Elijah. Elijah saw how great the spirit of God worked through Elijah, and he wanted the same for himself. He could have asked for anything, but this is what he asked for. He sought neither wealth, nor position, nor worldly power, nor a share in those advantages which he had turned his back on. Because if you go to 1 Kings, you're going to see when Elijah met Eliza, he was tending to his cattle and everything. He had it going on. But he heard the call of God, and he left everything. And he even told him, just let me go home and kiss my mama and daddy goodbye. He said, I'm going to be ready to go. And he did not look back. But you see, this idea of a double portion, he wasn't asking for twice as much as Elijah had, but to ask for the portion that went to a firstborn son. You see, in the book of Deuteronomy, they called, you know, the firstborn son to get whatever the father had. He's saying, in a sense, treat me as a son that I could receive the inheritance of your spirit. He was asking for the right to be regarded as a son, as his firstborn, but he was asking for it in regards to the ministry. Yet Elijah had already been designated as Elijah's successor. We found that in 1 Kings 19 and 19. This was a request for spiritual power to fulfill the calling already received. So when we see he wanted a double portion of the spirit, you got to see what it's saying. Elijah said, if you see me when I go, it's for you. And if you don't see me, it shall not be so. He was letting him know it was up to God. And if we get to the 11th, through the 14th verse, they say, it came to pass as they went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up in a whirlwind unto the heavens. You know, there's many stories saying how Elijah left this earth. but they said he went up in a whirlwind. Yes, there was chariots. Yes, there was horses. But God put them between him, between Elijah and Eliza, and it separated him. And then God took Elijah in a whirlwind. So, you know, when you're here and you're always saying that Elijah went in a chariot of fire, that's not so. He went up in a whirlwind. And Elijah saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariots of Israel and the horsemen thereof. When that statement is ever made in the Bible, they are talking about the God that is strong and mighty and protects the Israelites. They use that saying, so that's why that's put there. And he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes and rent them into pieces. He took up the mantle of Elijah that fell from him while Elijah was going up in the whirlwind, his cloak came off. Elijah's cloak fell to him, and he went back and stood on the banks of the Jordan. Now, remember, the 50 men is on the other side of the Jordan, but Elijah got to get back on the other side where the 50 men is at. And he stood on the banks of the Jordan, and he took the mantle that Elijah had fell from him and smote the water and said, where is the Lord of Elijah? And when he had smitten the water, they parted hither and hither. And Elijah now went back on the other side. You see, Elijah was taken to heaven without dying. He was the second person identified in the scripture to receive this honor. For those who don't know, and for those who do know, it's a refresher. And for those who don't know, Enoch was one that was taken away by God that never saw death as well. And Enoch's son was Methusalem, which was the oldest man to ever live. And there's a joke that how could the oldest man to ever live be younger than his son, because Enoch's life stopped with the earthly things when God took him away. Elijah was taken up to heaven in a whirlwind, not the chariots, not the horses of fire. It came between the two, cut him off from human sight. You see, these chariots and horsemen symbolize strong protection as well as the forces of God's spiritual presence, which is the true safety of Israel and our safety as well. Elijah ripped his clothes. It was a sign of grief. But he immediately realized that there was work to do. He now has to get back to the other side of the Jordan. You see, when Elijah was taken up, his coat fell, like I said earlier. But it fell to the ground. See, because, you know, it said Elijah had to pick it up. You see, the mantle of the cloak did not fall from heaven and rested on his shoulder. He had to decide to pick it up and put it on. He had to decide, do I really want to put this on? You see, Elijah's ministry was one of great power, but it also was great responsibility, great pressure. Come on now, hard times and hardships. You know, you got to look at somebody sometime and say, you want what they have, but you don't know what it took for them to get it, and you don't know what they have to do to keep it. Hallelujah. God didn't put the coat and rested it upon him. He let it go to the ground, and he had to decide to pick it up. God don't force us into nothing. See, Elijah knew that the power did not rest in the mantle or the fiery chariots or horses. It rested in the presence and the work of the living God. You see, if the Lord God of Elijah also with Elijah, then he would inherit the same power and direction of ministry. God made sure that there was witnesses who witnessed the succession of Elijah to the power of office of Elijah. God always give witnesses because he wants those that is necessary to know what he's doing in your life, where he has placed you, where he's sending you. They're going to know it's not all about you. It's about God, because God should be able to be seen in you. And God always wants witnesses because he wants the evidence to be known and to be true and to be factual. You see, they had 50 men sitting over there, and they saw Elijah. They saw Elijah didn't come back. They saw the horses because they was looking to fall, and they saw the whirlwind. See, Elijah didn't need to persuade. He didn't have to go back and persuade and convince them of this word that God has spoken and is now being fulfilled. You see, God's blessings on his actions was enough to prove it. And if we look at Scripture 15 through 18, and it reads, "And when the sons of the prophets who were to view at Jericho saw him, they said, 'The spirit of Elijah do rest on Elijah.'" See, they witnesses. They testified to it. And you don't have to go around trying to prove and push your way into nothing, because the scripture says your gift will make room for you. And God will touch the hearts and the minds of everybody necessary. See, some of them hey-naders that's going on in your life, they ain't necessary. Keep it moving. And then we look at 16, and it says, "And they said unto him, 'Behold, now there be with thy servant 50 strong men. Let us go, we pray, and seek thy master, even peradventure the Spirit of the Lord has taken him up and cast him in some mountain or on some hill.'" And he said, they were saying, "Oh, all right, Elijah, you done came back on this side. You don't have Elijah with you. Yeah, we saw the chariots, we saw the horses, we saw the whirlwind. And we believe that God did pick him up, but God might have just put him on a mountain. Or God may have just taken and put him in a valley. Or God may have put him here. Or God had maybe put him there." They say, "So let us go look for him." Come on now, y'all. But he said, ye shall not sin. That means I'm not going to send you. And when they all get him till he was ashamed, he said, "Send." He said, "Okay, go." They sent therefore the 50 men, and they sought 3 days, but did not find him. And when they came again to him, for he tarried at Jericho, he said unto them, Elijah, said unto them, "Did I not say unto you, go not?" You see, the sons apparently didn't know what to believe. They may have doubted the word of God they had received, and it has the appearance that they were short on faith at the time. So they asked, "Let us go and search." You know, the sons of the prophets wonder if the chariot of fire had taken Elijah to another place in Israel. Elijah knew that it had carried him to heaven. Hallelujah. So he was hesitant to give permission for what he already knew would be a useless mission. And after the men searched for 3 days and could not find him, Elijah said, "Did I not say to you, do not go?" Elijah was carried to heaven, to some other place. And that's our word of God tonight. And I pray that you ask the question, why is Elijah and Eliza, you know, have this important place in the word of God? Go seek it and find it out. They did many miracles. God used them. You got to remember when the kings was all no good. And if you watch the pattern of God, he always raised up. You remember I told you Moses, then Joshua, then Judges, then Kings. And now we're on the mighty prophets that God is sending to tell the people. And you know they say faith come by hearing and hearing by the word of God. God's going to always have somebody saying the word of God, because that's how faith comes, because that's what the scripture said. And Elijah, time is over. And Eliza is now taking a reign. God always have a ram in a bush. And he always have provisions for his people. God never asks you to do something that you can't accomplish or that he didn't give you the material and the resources to do it. Praise be to God, the author and the finisher of our faith. And that's our program for tonight. If anyone would like to make a comment, lead us out in prayer. They have some callers. You press the button to give me, you know, help me out. And I don't know if you're trying to say something. So I'm going to only open your mic, and if you don't want to talk, I'm going to close it back and go to the next one. Because once you have pressed the button and made the prompt, I can't see you if you press it again. So call us. The number is 27954. Call us. 27954.
That was me.
Yeah, call us.
Hello?
That was you? Yes.
Yes, that was me.
Would you like to make a comment?
Hello?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Oh, okay. No, all I was trying to do is let you know that you wasn't coming through to me. So what I need to do is know if it's possible for me to go into this deeper with you.
Yes, you can, darling.
Okay.
So you start hearing me on the end?
All through it. You kept fading out. It kept blinking off, and you were off for a while.
Okay, but whenever you're ready, just give me a call, and we'll definitely do that.
Okay, I will.
Thank you, caller.
Okay.
Thank you. There's another caller, 45795. Would you like to make any comments? You don't have to.
No.
Thank you for calling in. Call a 53475. If you'd like to make a comment, you can.
Miss Leary, I'm good.
All right. Let me ask you this question, Sister Leary. The lesson was so chopped up where it couldn't be received.
No, I got it. I was hearing you. I received it.
So you heard, you was hearing me through the whole lesson?
Uh-huh. Even when you asked for us to press the one button, I was hearing you.
Okay. So, 'cause I was saying I could repeat this lesson. Well, if anybody would like to pray or lead us out, if no one would like to do that, we're going to go ahead and end the lesson for tonight. Y'all know next week we're in First Chronicles. Start reading up on it, y'all. Be able to throw some of this back. You know, I would like to take one day when we just say Genesis and we lead ourselves, because, you know, refreshing ourselves with the word of God is always important. But right now, I'm going to go ahead and do a benediction, and I'm going to lead us out. And I thank God that we was able to follow through with the program, even though we had some interruptions. But God is in control, and I'm just going to leave you with this tonight. It is my desire, and I pray that each and every one of you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Christ, because that's where our success is. So to each and every one of you, I just want to say good night, I want to let you know that God loves you, and so do I. And if the Lord allows us, we'll be back next week, the same time in the same station. Go and be blessed. Good night.